From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. A new CNN poll puts Mitt Romney at the top of the Republican presidential candidates in Iowa just days before that state's first-in-the-nation presidential caucuses. As NPR's David Shaper reports, voters who had been undecided appear to be finding Romney the most electable.
Romney appears to be gaining momentum in a state he has not nearly visited as often as he did 4 years ago when he spent millions here but came in a disappointing second. His events are drawing overflowing crowds, including hundreds at this coffee shop in downtown Muscatine, where Daryl Smock rejects Romney's opponent's charge that he is too moderate.
I think he's conservative enough for me, but not too conservative, and probably more importantly, since I'm but one vote, I think he's not so conservative that he's going to scare away a bunch of independents.
A more confident Romney himself is playing up the notion that he is the most electable Republican next November. David Shaper, NPR News in Waterloo, Iowa.
Polls show Ron Paul possibly second in Iowa, with Rick Santorum behind him and ahead of Newt Gingrich. Weeks ago, Gingrich had said he was doing so well in the polls that he was sure to capture the Republican presidential nomination. Michelle Bachmann has suffered a blow in Iowa. Her state campaign chairman has quit and is now backing Ron Paul. The funeral for the late North Korean leader Kim Jong-il today. Hundreds of thousands of mourners packed the central square in Pyongyang to hear eulogies. NPR's Mike Schuster reports from Seoul, South Korea, that the ceremony also served to elevate Kim's son as his successor.
Speakers at the ceremony praised Kim Jong-il, who died on December 17th, for his economic policies, despite the widespread shortages of food in North Korea, and for his defense of the nation and his military skills, particularly his pursuit of nuclear weapons. His successor and youngest son, Kim Jong-un, stood quietly in the cold on a balcony, wearing a thick, dark blue overcoat. He did not speak. But one senior political official declared that the young Kim is now the supreme leader of the party, the military, and the people. And a senior general pledged the military's loyalty to the son, vowing to defend him with their lives. At noon, the throng bowed their heads in silent tribute, and sirens and horns blared in Pyongyang for 3 minutes. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Seoul.
Activists in Russia plan more protests. Thousands have signed up on the Facebook social media network to protest the imprisonment of a left-wing activist who's in poor health after a rally disputing the official results of the latest parliamentary election. Activists also say they'll protest other sentences handed down to opposition figures. Prime Minister Vladimir Putin says the results of parliamentary elections will stand. This is NPR News. NATO officials say a man in an Afghan army uniform has killed two French Foreign Legion members in eastern Afghanistan. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports the Taliban have claimed responsibility.
NATO officials are investigating whether the man who opened fire on NATO soldiers was an imposter or a legitimate member of the Afghan army. A Taliban spokesman claimed the man was an agent who had joined the Afghan army with the purpose of killing foreign soldiers. The spokesman said the troops killed were French nationals based in the eastern province of Kapisa, and that the gunman also died in an exchange of fire. At least six times this year, Afghan soldiers have turned their guns on the international troops that are training and assisting them. It's not clear how many of the shooters were Taliban agents. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
And in southern Afghanistan, officials say a local police vehicle hit an improvised landmine. 10 police officers are reported dead. A federal judge has ordered the U.S. military to pay nearly $18 million to the family of four people killed by a jet that crashed into their California home. The military says a series of mistakes caused the F-18 Hornet to hit the San Diego house. The plane lost an engine in flight. Two young children, their mother and grandfather, died. A wildlife trade monitoring group says this has been a disastrous year for elephants, possibly the worst since sales of ivory were banned in 1989 to save elephants from extinction. The Traffic Network says the number of elephant tusks seized this year represents 2,500 dead animals. Traffic says it shows that Asian organized crime syndicates are increasingly involved in the illegal ivory trade. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.